By that point, everything from Morocco to Iraq had transitioned from being mostly not Muslim and not Arab to becoming mostly Muslim and speaking Arabic. So that if you go to Morocco, ethnically, if you take the DNA of Moroccans, they're not Arab. There's probably some Arab blood there, but it's a small amount, 5% max. Same with Algeria, same with Egypt, same with Syria. Syria had a significant Arab population, but the majority of the population wasn't. They were Assyrian, they were Greek, they were Roman, they were Persian. And so what you ended up with was a huge swath of land that spoke Arabic, that had become majority Muslim, but ethnically it wasn't Arab. So culturally it had some similarities to the Arabs, but there were more cultural differences. So so that when you say a person is Arab, or you say a state is Arab, or a country is Arab, like in the case of Syria, it's actually kind of a loose thing. Because culturally, there isn't that much in common between Syria and Algeria, frankly. And in fact, the only thing that binds them together is the common language. But if you grabbed a Syrian and dropped him into Algeria and had him start speaking, there would be an immediate language problem because Algerian Arabic is significantly different from Syrian Arabic. Having said that, despite the Ottoman Empire's successes, the Ottoman Empire wasn't Arab. It was ruled by Turks, but the majority of the land that the Turks ruled was Arab. So it's, again, a little weird because you have this minority Turkish population ruling over this majority Arab population. The Ottoman Empire will eventually go into decline, however, because it doesn't keep up with Europe technologically. And the Ottoman Empire, by World War I, is in so much trouble, it's lost the vast majority of its territory. So what ends up happening is the Europeans decide they're going to carve up the Ottoman Empire like a Thanksgiving Day turkey. In fact, they had decided to do this before World War I even broke out. They made a deal, and then they made a sort of secret deal with each other, France and Great Britain, called Sykes-Picot. And they were going to carve off a piece and give it to Greece, carve off a piece and give it to Italy. Another piece was going to go to Russia. They were going to take a piece for themselves, right? They had this really elaborate plan that required all the guys who fought in World War I against Germany and Austria and the Ottoman Empire and Bulgaria. It required them to all be on board. And in the end, one of them bails. And the one that bails is Russia because it has the communist revolution and becomes the USSR eventually. Once that happens, Sykes-Picot kind of gets thrown for a loop because part of the plan with Sykes-Picot was they were going to cut the Persian Empire in half. And they were going to, the British were going to take the southern half of Persia and the Russians were going to take the northern half of Persia. And the reason that was important was because Persian oil reserves were in the southwest corner and Great Britain wanted Persian oil reserves. When Russia goes communist and says it's not going to participate in this, it takes Persia off the list of places that can be conquered because the British can't conquer it by themselves. At that point, the British decide that they want Iraq. Iraq was supposed to go to France, but they know that there's oil in Iraq, especially in northern Iraq, so the British just simply take Iraq. The British are also going to take Palestine, and they're also going to take Jordan, because as far as the Brits are concerned, this is the Crusades coming to fruition, right? They're going to get Jerusalem, finally, right? Because in the Third Crusade, the one that King Richard the Lionhearted goes on, they don't retake Jerusalem. So this is the way England gets to kind of complete that story. They're finally going to get Jerusalem. What they end up giving the French is what is now Lebanon and Syria. And the Arabs aren't on board, because the Arabs have a different plan. The different plan was actually being created right there in World War I, and their plan was first to break away from the Ottoman Empire, but then to create a massive Arab kingdom, I shouldn't say massive, but a substantial Arab kingdom in what is now Saudi Arabia, Iraq, Syria, and Palestine. And the British and the French don't want that to happen because they plan to carve that chunk of land up for themselves. And that's the whole Lawrence of Arabia story, right? He's racing the British and the French to Damascus. Well, really, the British, the French weren't racing. He's racing the British to Damascus, and the Arab army pulls it off. They capture Jerusalem first. They capture Damascus first. Their claim to establish their state is really strong. They think they've got this thing, and the British and the French begin sabotaging. They're intentionally setting fires in Damascus. They intentionally shut off the water and the electricity in Damascus. They're doing everything they can to make it so that the Arab Empire can't succeed. And ultimately, the French will invade. They invade first Lebanon, and then in 1920, they cross the border into what is now Syria. The Arab population in Syria puts up a fight. They'll fight one battle, the Battle of Maysalun, and the Arabs are ultimately defeated, because the French brought aircraft and tanks, and the Arabs barely had artillery. They were actually doing cavalry charges in on horseback into that, and that's just not going to end well. So Syria ends up in the French Empire. Iraq goes into a state of rebellion, same year, 1920, because it doesn't want to end up as part of the British Empire. And the British actually bomb Baghdad. They actually launch the world's first ever airplane aerial bombardment of a major city. And they bomb Baghdad, trying to force the Iraqis to submit. Iraq eventually does submit. Since we're all adults here, I'm going to quote Prime Minister David Lloyd George. There was a public outcry against the idea of bombing Baghdad. Like, it was just offensive to so many people. Nobody could believe that the British were doing it. And David Lloyd George got up in front of Parliament and said, "Great Britain reserves the right to bomb." So in case you didn't know, according to the British, Iraqis are Africans that can be slurred in this negative way. Can you imagine the racism today? Like if the president got up and said, "We have the right to bomb these people because they're..." Anyway. In any case, Iraq will submit, just as Syria did. In fact, the twisted irony is the king of Syria, the guy who's trying to create this kingdom, his name is Faisal the First. He was the king of the kingdom of Hejaz. When the British realize he's unemployed now because he's just lost Syria, they offer him to be the king of Iraq, and he becomes the king of Iraq. So he will become the puppet for the British as they try to rule Iraq.